Chapter number 14 tonight, the book of Luke, chapter number 14, and that's where we'll be tonight, and look at several verses here. Book of Luke, chapter number 14. When you find your place, I would ask if you would stand with me for the reading of the Word of God, if you're able, and if you're not able, I certainly do understand that as well. And Luke, chapter number 14, and we'll look at verse number 16 is where we'll take our reading. And we'll read down to verse number 24. And thank you so much for being here in your place on a Wednesday night. It certainly means a lot to me. Verse number 16, the Bible says, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Tonight, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach a message entitled this, "To get a taste, you must come to the table." And we'll see where the Lord takes us with this. But let's bow our heads and our hearts and pray. Father, thank you so much for the truth of your word. God, I thank you for, Lord, just the truth that you gave me out of this text this week. And Lord, even last week, I pray that you would just allow, God, exactly the way you gave it to me in my office and in our living room. I pray that you would just allow me to give that to your people tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless the message. Pray that you'd help the truth to lodge deep in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Throughout the Word of God, tables are a special place. Tables are a place where there's food, there's fellowship, and there's fulfillment many times at the table. And if you were to start in the book of Genesis and go through the book of Revelation, you'll find tables literally all throughout the Word of God. And they're used for many different reasons, but a common reason is obviously to enjoy a meal together and to enjoy the fellowship with those that are around the table. I enjoy the table time at our house. We make it a practice to sit around the table whenever we enjoy meals, and as a family, we'll gather around and we'll eat the meal together. That's a practice that we have in our home, and we enjoy the meal. And there's several elements to a meal. There's the contents of the meal, and I enjoy that part especially. The meal itself, the food itself, I enjoy that. I used to be a picky eater. Whenever I was a kid, I used to be a really picky eater. Don't say amen, Brother Tom. But I used to be a picky eater. Whenever there was something that I did not enjoy, many times another thing got prepared for me. And I can't help that, okay? I was just kind of spoiled, I guess. But I used to be here. But not so much anymore, as you can tell. I have learned to appreciate all types of foods. And I'm not biased, really, to most any of them. I enjoy the heavy meals, but I've enjoyed the light meals here lately. You give me a good Master Mechanic salad from Ted's Garage, and I am happy, okay? That thing is good. And I don't want it every day, but it's pretty good. And But I like the light meals. I like the heavy meals. I like the spicy foods. I like the not-so-spicy foods. I like the sweet foods, the sit-down moods, foods. I don't mind going through the fast food every once in a while. I like the meal. I like the contents of the meal. Leah prepares most of the meals at our house, but every once in a while, I get in there, and boy, when I get in there, I know how to make a good mess. And I like to cook. I enjoy that. And whether it's on the smoker, the grill, the flat top, or just in her kitchen, I make a mess and have a good time doing it. And so I enjoy cooking. I enjoy the contents of the meal, but there's also the conversation at the supper. The conversation is something that's really lacking these days at our supper table, but that used to be a big thing in our country, to sit around the table and to talk with one another. And our girls, as you could guess, they dominate the conversation at the supper table. And many times you'll find at the Robertson table, you'll find a conversation about a food race. You know, we'll race to see who's going to eat you know, the quickest. Right now, it still works. So Grace, they're not in here. So Graceland, I mean, we can trick her and think, hey, I'll beat her. And, you know, I'll let her win every once in a while. Sometimes I'll beat her, but it still works, okay? A food race. A lot of times, though, there's a bartering in between, though, with mom to figure out how many green beans they still need to eat before they can be done. And so that's the conversation, okay? And I enjoy that. Lee and I will talk about our day. And one thing that's always brought up in the conversation is what's for dessert. Just sweet conversation with our family. I mean, that's something that's brought up. When's mom making the cookies? If mom didn't make cookies or don't have cookies playing, we're going to IGA. It's just simple as that. We've done it many times. Late night runs to IGA. Whenever they switch the hours, Katarina and Samantha, whoever else works there, it really messed us up, okay? They used to stay up until midnight. Now it's 9 o'clock. That really messed us up. But, you know, whatever. The conversation, though. Conversation at the supper time ought to be a special time. It ought to be something we enjoy with our family. If you don't make it a practice to sit around your table, you ought to start that. Just to be around the table, enjoy the conversation. But another thing that's gained at the supper table is the connection that's gained at the supper table. Around the table is connections that are made. It used to be at the table, that's when mom and dads could teach their kids about life. I mean, that's when they could teach them about the politics. They could teach them about what's in the news. They could teach them those things around the supper table. And one of the saddest things that I think that we've lost in this high-tech, I mean, connected world is we become disconnected with even those in our very own house. And the connection that's gained at the supper table. But just as we enjoy the table physically to supply nutrition for our daily lives, we should also have an appetite spiritually to sit around His table. You see, His table supplies nutrition for our soul, and every single day we must sit around His table. Just the things that we enjoy about a physical table, we should enjoy spiritually at His table. We ought to enjoy the contents of His table. In His table, we ought to find the importance of a daily time with the Lord. I mean, it ought to be something that ought to be so routine, ought to be so regular in your schedule that your dog knows when you do it, okay? This is the time that I walk with the Lord. This is the time that I set aside. It may be a specific chair. It may be a specific table. Me and Brother Matt were talking about that this afternoon, this evening. We have a specific place that I walk with the Lord. Every single day, you can find me walking with the Lord then. Okay, it is a specific place. And we ought to find the importance of getting in His Word and reading the Word of God and enjoying the fresh bread. Every single day, church, I know you know this, but realize that every single day God has fresh bread prepared for you that He wants you to enjoy. It's there, it's fresh, it's warm out of His oven, but you must sit at His table in order to enjoy that, the contents of the meal. But every single day, we ought to enjoy the conversation around His table. You see, He's at His table. He's ready to commune with you. He's ready to talk with you. He's ready to hear your request. He's ready to hear your needs and the desires of your heart. But when we don't sit at the table, we never get to enjoy the conversation at the table. We miss out on that whenever we become so busy and we become so bombarded with other things and we don't sit at His table. We miss that sweet fellowship that He longs for us to have at His table. Every single time we come into this place, we are sitting at His table. Every single time that we enter into this property, into this building, we should come with a desire to be fed from the Master's table. Listen, a fresh meal is always prepared. No matter who preaches behind this pulpit, the Word of God will be proclaimed. It'll be proclaimed in power. The preparation will be made. Listen, the church will be clean and the lights will be on and the TVs will be updated. All that goes on to a service will be updated. It'll be prepared and it'll be planned out and prepared, but it's important for us to come with an appetite to meet with Him, or it's just a waste of time. Listen, I believe part of our problem, it's not that we don't see the importance and we don't see the need for it, but part of the problem is we're simply not hungry. We're not hungry to sit at His table. We come in here and we already are consumed with the things of this world in our life, and we've fed on the wickedness of this world, that when it's time for church, we really don't want to sit at it because we're already filled up. I don't know about you, but whenever I'm already full, I'll nitpick around things. And although I love sitting at the table, I love to eat the food that Leah prepares. I love to partake in the conversation. And I love to partake in the connection that's made. But if I'm not hungry, I just sit there a lot of times. I just sit there and I just wonder, man, I'm not getting anything out of this. And you may sit in church tonight and you may have sit in church in weeks before and you wonder, why don't I ever get anything out of the preaching? Or why don't I ever get anything out of the singing? Well, I can't even enjoy the choir special. It could be that you're already full and you're not hungry for the things of God. Listen, you can't pull into the church parking lot listening to the devil's music and come here and enjoy the songs of Zion. It's just not going to happen. I mean, you're already filled with the wrong things. You can't gorge on Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday on the things of this world. Listen, the devil knows who we are. He knows what buttons to push. He's a master at his game. And he'll put things in front of you, whether it be through Instagram reels, whether it be through a Facebook, whether it be through your TV, or whatever the case, YouTube, or whatever the case may be. He'll put things in front of you that will hinder you and fill you up in the wrong thing. And then whenever it's time to come to his table, you're not hungry. You don't want to eat because you're already filled with things that are not pleasing unto him. Listen, you can't feed on the movies of Hollywood where sex and outright sin are in your very living room, something you'd never allow in the front room of your home, but yet you allow it through the TV and you allow it through your cell phone. You can't engorge on those things and then expect to come into his table and meet with him. You're already full. Listen, my friend, what happens is you're not hungry for the things of God because you're already filled with the wickedness of this world. And you may wonder, man, why? I just can't seem to ever get anything out of it. And I understand there's times that the preacher may not be preaching on something that entertains you. I mean, I understand that. I mean, sometimes our mind wanders, okay? I get that. We're human. But there ought to be an appetite for the things of the Word of God. You see, the Bible says in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And then there's a promise, for they shall be filled. If I hunger, if I thirst for the things of God, and I come seeking, God's going to give it to me. Every single time. Listen, what we need a church full of folks when they enter the parking lot, the music's turned off and they're in tune with God. And saying, God, I'm here, I'm in your house, I'm at your place, and I know there's a message prepared, I know there's songs ready to be sung, I know there's a prayer time to be had, and God, I'm in tune with you, and I'm ready to meet with you and to sit at your table. You'll never get a taste until you first sit at his table. Let me ask you, when's the last time you come to church so desperately hungry spiritually, so hungry that you even asked the Lord before you got here, God, give me something from your word tonight? Listen, the table is a place that we should be familiar with. We find in our text here that a supper has been prepared, and the Bible refers to it as a great supper that has been prepared. And here the master of the house, the man of the house, wants to have a party. He wants to have a party, he's prepared a big meal, and he wants to invite guests to his table so that it may be filled. This story is what we call a parable. It's an earthly story with a heavenly application. And there's so many ways that we could preach this. I mean, you could preach it to the lost and plead for them to come to sit at the Lord's table. You could preach it to the saved and you could encourage them to go out into the highways and hedges and compel the lost to come in to sit at his table. You could preach it to so many different people and apply it so many different ways. But tonight, in particular, I want to preach it to the church and the saints of God in relating to sitting at the master's table. And he has a warning for us in this passage if we don't want a taste of his supper. And I just want to look at this tonight and give you several points. Number one, notice this. Notice the invitation to the meal. The invitation to the meal. Again, look at 16. The Bible says, then said he unto him, a certain man had a great supper and bade many and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. We see, first of all, notice the preparation. We find that Jesus, or the man in our text, begins to tell a story Jesus begins to tell a story about a man that had prepared a great supper. And in Matthew 22, we learned a parallel passage of Scripture. We learned he's preparing this supper because his son is getting married, and it's a reception party. It's a party to celebrate, and he's wanting to go out, and he's prepared it. It's a great meal. There's no more preparation that needs to be made. It is simply a great supper that's been prepared. But then we see the plea. We see the plea. The preparation was made, and the man sends his servant and says, I want you to go out, and I want you to invite those that are bidden to come into my house that they may partake of my great supper. I want them to enjoy it. I find something very specific here. He says to go out at supper time. in verse number 17. He says, and sent his servant out at supper time to say, verse 17, to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. This was a specific time that he was supposed to go, or supposed to come. Listen, they couldn't choose any time that they wanted to come sit at his table. He had been invited. He's invited these guests to come. They couldn't just choose any old time that they wanted to. They had to come at supper time. And can I say the same is true for you and I? The invitation has been made. The preparation has already been done by God Himself to prepare a great supper for us to enjoy. And the plea is going out for you to come at supper time. You may say, man, why do we have to go to church on Sunday morning? Why do we have to go to church on Sunday night? And why do we have to go to church on Wednesday night? And why do we have to go to church on certain revival nights? Can I say it's just supper time, and that's the time that the meal's prepared, and that's the time that we're supposed to go to the house of God. That's the time that our local assembly has prepared for us to be here, and it's important for us to be here at supper time. Listen, the invitation to the meal, he's calling for you, he's calling for me, for all things are now ready. Listen, these folks that he had bidden, they didn't have to prepare, they didn't have to plan anything, they didn't have to bring anything, they just had to come to supper time. That's all they had to do. Listen, and that's what God is asking for us to do. He's sending out an invitation to you and I to come to His table at supper time. That's all we have to do. Listen, many times though, we get bombarded by the cares of this life. We get bombarded by the business and the burdens and the battles that we face in this life. And many times we don't listen when the invitation's going out. I read this quote this week. It said this: a church's health is not measured by addition, but rather by nutrition. And listen, he's prepared a great supper that he wants you to enjoy, but you must come at supper time. Notice not only the invitation to the meal, but notice the individuals that made excuse. The Bible says in verse number 18, it says this: and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I bought a 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. We see the individuals that begin to excuse, and these guests, this servant, this master sends his servant out to go to these guests that were bidden. And he goes to three different types of people. First of all, he goes to the man with real estate. And he knocks on his door and says, hey, my master has invited you to a great supper. It's a great supper. He's prepared it, and he's done sent me out here to come and bid for you to come. And he says, oh, I'm so sorry. You'll have to excuse me from the supper because I done bought a piece of ground and I got to go look at it. Now, there's only been one time in history, to my knowledge, that people bought things without looking at them. And that was 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, I guess, COVID. People buying houses without looking at them and giving way more money than they're worth. But normally, you wouldn't buy something without going to look at it. Am I right? You wouldn't buy a piece of property for sure. You'd want to go look at that thing, and you'd want to scope it out, see how many deer's on the thing and how many rabbits are on the thing and how many, maybe there's a lake or a pond and fish already in there. You want to check all those things out. You certainly don't buy it without looking at it. So that was a lie. That was an excuse. Well, then he goes to another man. He goes to the man with responsibilities. And he says, hey, my master has prepared a great supper, a wonderful supper. It's a wonderful supper. You got to come it's supper time, but he wants you to come. He says, you know what? I just bought 5 used cars. 5 used cars. I don't know if I got a lemon. I don't know if I got anything good. I got to go look at them. I got to go try them out. Now, once again, only one time in history, people buying stuff without. That didn't work out too good for Carvana. They're about to go down, but hope you don't have any Carvana stock because that's going to go down. But most of the time you test drive the car, am I right? Brother Brian, you test driving cars right now. You driving around. He's driving them up. I went and drove my truck. As soon as I went and looking at it, I went and drove it. And I immediately go to the Walmart parking lot. And I parked that dude, and I'm looking all at it. I mean, I'm opening the hood like I know what's underneath there. I'm looking underneath it. I'm checking the back seats. I'm making sure all the buttons and the lights and all the gadgets work. I checked it out. You don't buy one, much less 5 used cars, 5 yoke of oxen. But this man had a lot of responsibilities. He's thinking, man, my wife don't know that I done bought these 5 cars, and I got to go out them somewhere, Brother Mike. She don't know about them. I got to go put them in my garages. She don't know about them. No, that man's lie. He was a lie. Excuse. But then there was the man with the relationship. And the servant knocks on his door and he says, "Hey, my master has invited you to come to his great supper. It's a wonderful supper. It's prepared. He's already done everything. He wants you to come." And he says, "I'm sorry, but I just got married." And the servant said, "I understand completely. You don't have to come." No. What woman, think about this, what woman in their right mind, there's a free meal, I mean a special meal from the master, I mean that you're going to get dressed up for. You're going to put on your finest attire. It's free. I mean, that alone, for most ladies, it's free. And I had to come. Now, most ladies probably would say, "Let's go." But he didn't want to go. And so he made excuse. He made up an excuse. The ultimate gist here is the fact that excuses are a dime a dozen. And we can come up with real estate. We can come up with relationships. We can come up with responsibilities. We can come up with, you wouldn't believe the excuses I've heard. I mean, it's wet outside. It's hot outside, Brother Matt. It's cold outside. It's hot in the church. It's cold in the church. It's too loud. It's too soft. I just don't like you. No, I mean, I've heard all of them. I'm just playing. Still waiting on that. It's coming, though. I know it's coming. But excuses are a dime a dozen. I mean, we can come up with them. We're good at that. We know how to come up with the excuses. And many times we use them because we don't want to sit at his table. And these men in this passage of Scripture, they used them because they just didn't want to sit at his table. But God's got a message for him at the last verse. Notice point number three. Notice the indignation of the master. In Luke 14:21, the Bible says this. So that servant came. So, I mean, poor servant. I mean, he's going house to house to house. Nobody's coming. And showed his lord these things. And the master of the house was being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." Can I say, first of all, he was angry at their absence. I mean, think about it. He done prepared this great big old meal. It's supper time. The food's getting cold. And ain't nobody there to enjoy the meal. I know how that'd go down at Leah Robertson's house. She wouldn't be very happy. I mean, she's prepared this great meal. I was a little bit late for lunch this afternoon, Miss Nancy. I mean, you know that. A little bit late, and she said, "This is about to go in the trash. I mean, it's getting cold." She had to heat it all up and everything and making it all big. It's like I was 10 minutes late. You know, it ain't that big of a deal. She knows something was wrong because I'm normally there, okay? But it was important. Otherwise, I'd have been there. But the master, she's not interested. I can talk about her all night. She said, "Yeah, turn that down for the Lucas in the nursery." But the master was angry at his absence. As any of us would be, you go through this great expense, as much as food is these days, and you buy the food, you prepare the food, you make sure it's all prepared, and then all of a sudden nobody shows up. Nobody wants to come. So what does he do? Notice next, he made it available to all. I find it interesting what the master tells the servant to do. Instead of him just packing up the house and throwing out the food, he says, "You know what, take it a step further." He says, "I want you to go out quickly." I find that interesting because it shouldn't take us long to decide if we're going to sit at his table. He came out quickly. He said, "No, I want you to go quickly, and I want you to go to the streets and to the lanes, and I want you to find those that are blind. I want you to find those that are maimed. I want you to find those that are halt. I want you to find all those that are in need, in other words, and I want you to invite them to come to my table." And so the servant goes out again. He's running at this point, and he goes to the blind man. He not knocks on his door, but he gets to the blind man, and he knocks on his door. And the blind man hears, and he says, "Hey, my master has made a great supper. He wants you to come." And the blind man, of course, he's happy for it. He's coming to the table. He says, "Well, lead me. I'll be there." He goes to the halt and the maimed and the beggar. He goes to all these that are in need, and he invites them to this great supper. And now these fellas are happy to be at the master's table. You see, the servant goes and he gathers the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind, and they gather around the table, but the problem wasn't solved. There was still a problem. And notice in verse 22, "And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." So a few seats are filled, but there's still room in his table. So what does the master do? Point number four, notice the inclusion of the multitudes. In verse 22, the Bible says this, "And the servant said, Lord, It is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And so he goes out to the highways, to the hedges. He goes out to the streets. He goes out to the lanes. And now we've got the maimed and the halt and the blind. They're all excited to be at the table. But then he takes it an even step further. And boy, that's just a reminder that God will allow just about anybody to come to sit at his table. A whole bunch of sinners saved by grace. He'll go to the highways. He'll go to the hedges. And he'll beg you to come sit at his table. It's available to all. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm thankful that I'm a whosoever tonight. And he desires to meet with us. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him. And I'll sup with him and he with me. You see, the great supper is prepared. The table has room and Jesus is compelling you. He's longing for you to come and get a taste of his supper. But notice lastly, we see, I can't remember, I got so many stinking points. We got the invitation to the meal, the individuals that made excuse, the indignation of the master, the inclusion of the multitudes, but finally, notice the intense message. The intense message. Verse 24, this is the main point of the message right here. The Bible says this, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. At the end of the story, we find an intense message from the master. His table is now filled. The great supper is being enjoyed. However, the crowd that was busy, the crowd that made excuse, the crowd that wasn't hungry, he gives them an intense message that they will not taste of my supper. Simply put, it's this. Believe what Jesus was saying was, if you're too busy, if you're too full already, if you have too many excuses, then I will go to someone else that will sit at my table. And may it not be said about First Baptist Church, may we receive that intense message tonight and take it personally, that Jesus is telling you and I that if we want to come in here and not be hungry, if we want to come in here and not enjoy the goodness of the Lord, and if we want to come in here already filled with the things of the world and excuses of the world, then he'll go down the road to another church, to another people that want to sit at his table. Don't let that be said tonight about First Baptist Church. Now more than ever, we need God's presence in this place. Well, we need God all over this property. We need him on those buses as they pull out. We need him on the choir as they sing, behind the pulpit, in the pew, in the Sunday school class. We need God's presence, his power all over this place. The only way we'll get that is if there's a people that want to sit at his table. And he simply says, it's available. It's available to all. But you'll never get a taste until you sit at his table. I hope you've drawn the conclusion to the story. Jesus is the master. He's prepared a great supper, and he wants you to sit at his table. He's not looking for excuses of why you cannot come. He's simply looking for people to feed and to fellowship with. But again, we'll never get a taste of that until we sit at his table. May that be your prayer tonight. May that be my prayer tonight, that we come with a desperate need Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but also Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, meeting at his table, saying, God, I want what you have for me. Please, God, give me something from your word. I'm hungry. I'm hungry for you. And every time you do that, I've experienced that promise that I shall be filled. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. With every head bowed, every eye closed, thank you for listening.